The next session is a traditional high point of RAIN Summits. Kurt Hansen is the publisher and founding editor of RAIN News and the CEO of AccuRadio. He needs little introduction to RAIN Summit audiences, so, assuming he's ready.
Close.
Without further embarrassing him, please join me in welcoming our next speaker, who?
Very slowly.
With lengthy applause, Kurt Hansen.
Thank you, Brad. And thank you, everybody. This speech is kind of a thing I do at each RAIN Summit. It's a little bit pompously and ironic, pompously named, but it's meant to be irony. There was a great Chicago disc jockey named Larry Lujak who did a State of the Industry address every year that was I was a fan of. I should have said this at the start of the day, but my background goes back to working in radio in high school, back in the days when you could hear The Carpenters and Deep Purple back-to-back on the same radio station. We have been writing RAIN for almost 15 years now, to evangelizing for online audio. A series of articles in the early couple of years of RAIN about giving ideas of what broadcasters could do online turned into this product, AccuRadio, which is meant to be kind of a test bed of what can be done in terms of personalizable radio, and it's designed to be a project that we'd be happy to partner with any of you on. My stick in these speeches is usually to fill them full of Star Trek references, but I'm trying to get over that, so this year I'm gonna fill it full of beer references. And a few dog references, and maybe a couple of car references, and certainly going to talk about smartphones. What we're generally here to talk about, of course, and what we've been talking about all day, is how radio is transitioning from devices like this to devices like this, and use case situations like this. It's a world where radio is getting better than it ever did before. Just as FM was better than AM because it had for music at least, because it had higher audio quality and the ability to broadcast in stereo. Internet delivered radio offers wider variety, lower spot load in most cases, ubiquity, everyone's got a radio on them nowadays, and personalization, features that only are allowed when radio is delivered via the internet. As a result of this, there are huge growth opportunities. Let me change the font on that just to make my point. Huge growth opportunities for all of us in the room, as you know. So, a section about dogs for one moment. I have mistakenly spent the last 50 or more years of my life as a cat person. My parents got one, and that turned into two, and that has turned into like 100 man years of cats over the years. I just discovered a year ago about the wonders of dogs. And maybe some of you know about this, but they're wonderful. I had no idea. This is Jackson in his audition photo at the Anti-Cruelty Society, a wonderful boxer, pit bull, chihuahua mix who's fun to go out running with and looks really good when his eyes turn sideways. A very happy dog. Well, it's a transition to go from being a cat person to a dog person. This will be a metaphor that I'll return to in a moment. Let's talk about beer for a second. And we'll have some in just a few minutes. The beer industry is very much like the radio industry in many countries nowadays. Beer is a multi-billion dollar business in the US and maybe in your country. In North America, about 80% of the market for beer is mass market beer. But that is declining about 5% a year. Meanwhile, that other piece of the pie is craft beer, good tasting, typically small brewery beers, and that segment is growing at about 20% a year. It's just coincidence that's 20% of the market and 20% a year. Well, if you're in the beer industry, where's your growth opportunities? Well, your growth opportunities are in the craft beer segment. And that's kind of similarly where we are in the radio industry today, where the growth opportunities are what we've been talking about for the last 8 hours. In radio, I've got a nice graphic kind of to describe this transition. This is Earth. We started out when I was in junior high school, the most popular radio stations were AMs, which had a monophonic moderate signal quality signal, but covered long distances. Then, as I got into high school, music listening moved to FMs, which had smaller coverage areas, but better fidelity. Now, there's another transition in the US and in other parts, some other parts of the world, about a decade ago, of satellite radio, where two or three satellites could cover a very large area of the globe. The current transition is hundreds of thousands of cell phone towers and millions of Wi-Fi routers and hubs that's delivering radio. A radio signal now can go really anywhere in the world, and with all the benefits I talked about a moment ago. And that's just as music transitioned from there to there and to some extent to there, it is now transitioning to here, and many forms of talk, on-demand talk, are moving that way as well. I want to reiterate what Larry talked about. I really love that share of ear study, which is why we're glad he was able to fly over and join us. To reiterate what Larry was saying, there's two kinds of main kinds of audio listening. That there's the radio, the listening you do on devices like that, where someone else is kind of being the programmer for you, and that historically has been about 24 hours a week of listening. Larry said he wished he had done these studies 30 or 40 years ago, but I'm guessing if he had, it would have looked something like this, with AM getting the bulk of listening back then. And then the other kind is listening to records, big or small, or tapes, or the things that are your own music collection. Back in 1967, I think it would have been primarily LPs. So here's what the typical average consumer's audio listening, I think, would have looked like back then. When RAIN got started 14, 15 years ago, I believe it had transitioned probably to something like this, where radio was primarily FM. Your country might have been a little bit different. And own music would have been primarily CDs, with MP3s starting to catch on. Your country was probably very similar. Well, there have been trends going on in the last 15 years that we've been talking about all day, and they're happening throughout Europe at somewhat different rates in different countries, where the Scandinavian countries are kind of ahead of the curve. But there are fast improving countries like Spain and France, and I think that is the Czech Republic, correct? What's going on in all of these cases is that radio, as a result of that, radio and other cultural phenomena, radio listening is changing. So let's take a look at AM/FM. I'm going to show you AM/FM trends in the US, but it's probably a worst case scenario. As I'm sure you know, the radio industry kind of got over consolidated in the US. The top broadcasters are in financial trouble. Spending on content has declined. And as a result, over the last 10, 20, 35 years or so, radio listening per capita has declined. It used to be the average person listened to radio about 18% of the day. It declined in the middle of the first decade of the millennium down to about 13% of their time. Then there's kind of a measurement change to people meters in big markets, and now it's declining even more quickly. Well, this is happening around the world, although not at this rate. So it's probably happening in your country, but the decline might be 1-2% a year. But it's a phenomenon that's worldwide, and I suspect going to continue. Meanwhile, online radio, of course, is growing, as we've talked about throughout the day. The other study Larry mentioned that he does is called the Infinite Dial, which he's been doing for many years. This chart looks at weekly listening to online radio in the US, and in the first decade of the 2000s, weekly listening to online radio grew at about 2 points a week. I'm sorry, 2 points a year, 2 points of the population. But then something happened right around 2000-ish, and what happened was, of course, the smartphone. As has been discussed several times throughout the day, this is an extremely powerful computer that's of shirt pocket size and has all sorts of features and capabilities. Flashlight, map, video camera, video game system, calculator, and very importantly, it's a great radio. A radio that when it listens to internet delivered radio, can get radio that's got wider variety and lower spot load, and obviously it's ubiquitous if you carry it with you and has the ability for personalization. So, right around as the smartphone got adopted, that line started going up about 5 percentage points of the population a year. And now we're up to about, next year it'll be pretty close to half the US population listens to online radio in the average week, I suspect. So this chart in 2000 has evolved, and this is, I think, Larry's most recent results, to a chart that looks like this, where the action on the own music side is on-demand services like Spotify and Deezer and RDO and et cetera, and on this side to internet-delivered radio and podcasts. So if you're interested in radio and if you're interested in beer, craft beer is where the action is. If you're in the radio industry, that's where the action is in radio, I think. So which webcaster specifically? For that, we go to a different data source, and we go to Triton Digital. We had Neil Shore here earlier today. They've been doing their webcast metrics product for many, many years. And I have charted out here the last 5.5 years of listening. The scale, this is US numbers, Monday through Sunday, 6-8 of midnight. The scale you can't see, but the top of the scale is an average quarter hour audience of about 2.5 million people. And in the last 5.5 years, Pandora has grown like this. From almost nothing to an audience that's roughly equivalent to a 10% share of radio listening in every US market. Spotify has only been in these reports for the last 5 or 6 months. That's the green at right, but if we project from when they launched, we would guess they've been growing something like this. If we look at iHeartRadio, which is primarily the iHeartMedia simulcasts of their AM/FM radio stations, that has been growing like that over the last 2 or 3 years. If we look at other broadcasters, they're pretty much like this, other AM/FM broadcasters. What's going on there? Well, that's what you get when you simulcast an AM/FM radio station on the internet. You get growth that's kind of flat. We've heard other people say this today, but let me reiterate, simulcasts don't really work. They're not a digital solution. They didn't work back when I was in high school. Back in 1967, during the first season of the original run of Star Trek, the US government forced AM/FM radio stations to split their programming. FM stations weren't allowed, in big cities, weren't allowed to do simulcasts anymore. And that's what made FM successful. FM had been around for, had existed for, I think, at least a couple decades before that, but it didn't take off until they quit doing simulcasts. What happened when they quit were new formats were invented that made sense for the FM delivery system. Because you had more channels and because you had better audio fidelity, things like album-oriented rock and beautiful music and eventually smooth jazz were created. What worked was new products and new brands designed for the new medium. That's what worked on FM in the 70s and 80s and thereafter. What works online? Well, maybe not surprisingly, it's new products and new brands that have been designed for the new medium. So, most successfully, as we've talked about many times today, Pandora. A neat thing about Pandora is they're a public company, so you have the ability to look at all sorts of intimate financial data on them and performance data on them. You can listen to them easily if you use a proxy or VPN service, I believe. But if you aren't familiar with it, looks like this. They have been growing to 80-some million active users. This is the last 4 years of growth on active users. They have sales offices in 37 cities now across the US with, I think, hundreds of salespeople at this point. Their quarterly revenues going up very nicely. This is fourth quarter revenues for the last 4 years. And the last half year, first half of 2014 versus first half of 2015, their revenues increase is up 29%. They will be to $1 billion or more in sales this year. It's doing well. There, on the other hand, there are skeptics that question the idea of a personalizable radio service. How can they ever be profitable? Look at their financials. They have not been net to date. Well, the answer is pretty simple. This is their hour clock. They run about 3 or 4 breaks an hour. They typically run one spot, maybe 2 30s per break. The way they can be profitable is right there. If they choose to add another unit per hour, that's enough to turn them into profitability. They're not doing that because they know low spot load is a defining feature of online radio, so they're holding off on that. But that's the answer to the skeptic's question. It can be done. You can make personalizable radio profitable by adding a unit. So, generally, how to succeed in business. If you want to compete in the world of online audio, as many or most of you or all of you are, there's a couple ways to do that. The best ways are to be either first in a new product category, perceived as first in a new product category. That's what Pandora is doing on the radio side of the equation. That's what Spotify is doing on the owned music side of the equation. They're the first established, not the first brands that existed, because there were other brands of internet radio like Yahoo Launchcast and others. And there were other on-demand music subscription services like Spotify, like Rhapsody. But these are the first two that really made it into the public consciousness. So you can do that, or failing that, if someone has already established themselves, you can target a niche audience. And that's the other solution for you. In your market, you may be able to do the first solution. You may be able to be the first brand in the category. If it's too late to do that, then you can target a niche. We have warranty reps from teamrock.com here at the summit that have focus on hard rock. There's a webcaster in the US that's focusing on country music for farmers. That's a nice niche. Ari Shohat from Digitally Imported is here. He's got a beautiful electronica, a multi-channel service that's a very nice and cool and successful niche. In California, there is a service called Atrex that's going younger than Pandora, targeting, you saw the demos on Pandora earlier, they're going younger, they're targeting college students. In our case with AccuRadio, we're going older. We're targeting 35 to 64 year olds. And you can't really, when you do that, you can't say you're for old people, so we say we're for the workday. And have designed a product that's got a lot of jazz and smooth jazz and classical and adult contemporary and Broadway, as you see here. And in fact, succeeds in getting first slice of the pie there is 25 to 34, but our focus is the next three, which is 35 to 44, 45 to 54, and 55 to 64. And that's working by getting a very, this is the broadcast day between midnight and midnight. And almost all of our audience is right in the 9 to 5 part of the day and gets good demographics, a high, older, college-educated, high-income audience. So you can do a niche like that. The thing you don't want to do is be in what's called the mushy middle. I recently got to go to a almost failed chain of hamburger places in the U.S. called Big Boy. Are any of you familiar with that? They were a family restaurant that featured hamburgers, and it's sad what they've become, but the reason they've become sad is because in the world of hamburgers, there's a big market for budget hamburgers, and there's a huge market for gourmet hamburgers, but there's not much of a market for burgers that are in between, and that's where Big Boy ended up. In the beer world, there's a huge market for cheap light beer, and there's a huge market for, and growing market for expensive and delicious beer, but there's not much market in between. That's the mushy middle where you want to avoid because there's not much action there. In radio, there's a very good market for personality-based linear radio. There's a very good market for music-intensive, maybe internet-delivered radio, but there's not much of a market for something that's got a little bit of personality and not a whole lot of music. If you're in that mushy middle, that's not the way to succeed in business. So I'm very Pollyanna-ish about online radio, as you can tell. There's one challenge, and that's a challenge that's a problem in the US, but it's an even greater problem here in Europe, and that's royalty rates. That if you want to do personalizable radio, AKA smart radio, I don't know if we've used that term much today, it's tough to do. You don't, in most countries, have statutory licenses that allow you to do that without negotiating with labels. As many of you know, Deezer just had to give up the idea of doing a IPO. I think that happened last month. Well, one of the problems is that they are spending, according to their financials, almost 90% of their revenues on music rights. It is very tough to succeed in any form of online audio if at these kind of costs. AM, FM radio stations pay a single-digit percentage of their revenues for their music rights, and that's been very lucrative for both sides of the transaction, and for consumers and for musicians and everyone. Getting up into the 50, 60, 70, 80, 90% range is tough. So if there's one challenge that needs to be worked on more and we'll talk about it in future RAN summits, it's that issue. So, as we said, music services, here's what works. New brands, new products and new brands designed for the new medium. That's why Spotify, the online music brands, the subscription brands that are successful are not HMV.com or Virgin Radio. Use your choice of record store chains. It's all new brands that were designed for the new medium with a new product that was designed for that medium. Same thing we said before. Benefits for advertisers. We talked about this a lot today. I'd like to just kind of punch this home for a second on, in terms of AM, FM radio, there's some great benefits for advertisers. Nearly 100% reach of the population. Really easy to get an effective frequency of, you know, that 3+ frequency an advertiser needs to make their advertising effective. Low production costs, the fact that you can use theater of the mind, easy to target by format, all of these are great benefits. Well, in terms of online radio, there's another great set of benefits, and that includes precise measurement. It's not based on a survey, it's based on actual server level measurement. Better targeting, you can target individual listeners by gender, demographic, postal code, bunch of different ways. Lower commercial loads mean more effective advertising. If you're an advertiser and you're the only spot in the break, that's a more effective commercial than if you're the sixth commercial in an 8 commercial pod. Synchronized visuals, nice benefit for advertisers. And on podcasts, as we talked about a little bit, live copy testimonials, very effective. This is not new. Game shows back back when I was in grade school, were doing live copy testimonials. Stephen Colbert, when on his first show, was doing a live copy testimonial. This works. This works great for advertisers. So some key trends to watch. These are going to just exacerbate the trends we've seen will continue thanks to these things. Data costs, getting lower and lower. Whether you're in the US or Singapore or the UK, data plans are getting really cheap. Obviously, Wi-Fi is free for consumers in loads of locations, but data is getting down to $1, $1.50 pound per gig per month. You really only need about a gig of data to do a lot of online radio listening on your device. So it's getting very affordable. Connected home audio is a great trend. We didn't have much time to talk about this today, but things like Sonos can really revitalize your interest in music. And what you access via Sonos is internet-delivered products. Wearables. I have wanted one of these since, final Star Trek reference of the deck, since Star Trek the Motion Picture, and finally got one. It is a great tuning system for online radio. You can, it connects to your phone, which does the bulk of the processing, but you can design a very nice interface for it. That was the Apple Watch. There's many Android versions coming soon. Voice control devices. I think this is only available at the moment, but, speak of the devil. There we go. This is the Amazon Echo. Are you familiar with this? It's about a 9-inch tall cylinder that just listens to what's going on in the house. And you wake it up with a word like Echo or Amazon or computer. And then you ask it questions, ask it to do things for you, ask it to play Pandora, it'll do that for you. It's an exciting trend that, again, will only deliver internet-delivered radio. And, of course, the connected automobile, as we talked about. I am a huge fan of what I've seen of Apple's CarPlay product. I think the Google version of this is not going to be bad either. Both of them are much better, in my opinion, than what auto manufacturers have done on their own. And these will start being in cars in quantity, I think, late this year, early next year. You'll start to see them in the showrooms. And it'll make using internet radio on the dashboard much easier and more convenient, and I think more ubiquitous than it has been in the past. Well, I need this slide. So, with all this going on, there are a lot of broadcast companies that have not embraced online radio. And the reason they, and there are a lot of European major broadcasters that didn't, you know, that aren't here today. And that's true with US broadcasters at our US events and Canadian broadcasters at our Canadian events. And I think the problem is has a parallel to cats and dogs. That these guys and these guys work on a totally different business model. And a cat, for example, requires limited upkeep. A cat doesn't have very high energy. On the Myers-Briggs personality scale, there are INTPs, introverted intuitive thinking perceptors. They aren't really good at tasks, and they kind of imply that they like you, but they don't really say it. A dog, on the other hand, has a completely different business model. He is requires lots of upkeep, but is high energy, is an extroverted, sensor, feeling, judgmenter, personality, is great at tasks, just looking for tasks to do, and gives explicit affection. Quite a different deal. Well, if you're used to one business model, it's tough to get comfortable with a different business model. And so the same thing is going on with radio. If you spent your whole career in the broadcast radio world, you got comfortable with the idea of high fixed costs, a live product, local audience, local advertisers, low variable costs. And you look at online radio, and it's low fixed costs, it's not live, the audience isn't local, the advertisers are national, the variable costs are high, and you know that's just not your thing. And that's what, in most industries where there's a disruptive innovation, that's what keeps legacy firms from participating, is not comfortable changing business models. So if you are in, you know, if you are working for a broadcaster that, or listening at home, hello, that is not getting into this, it helps understand why that is, and maybe it's worth, I would argue, getting over. Because in the same company, you can have dogs and cats living together. You can have both a healthy AM/FM business that will continue for years and years and years. That's the 80% on the beer pie chart, and you can still invest in the 20% where the growth is. Oh, so I have to, how's this? I'm out of time, but that's cool because it's in conclusion. In the future, radio is going to more and more be delivered by that system that gives global coverage with all these benefits we talked about. The devices are here. The data networks are in place and getting really affordable. Role models like Pandora exist. There are huge opportunities. Change the font, huge opportunities. And hopefully we can continue down this path. We can continue going at these opportunities, and we'll get together and drink a toast to our success soon. So thank you all very much, and see you for a beer in 8 minutes.